If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
And that. I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let the lies feline with a death wish. E right didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Shout out to Don Lance for having a show so incomprehensible that her intern's not sure what to title the hours. And I don't blame her at all. So as I'm getting ready, I was in here and I was just walking out to check on something. She goes, hey, I'm not exactly sure what they were doing today. So I've pulled the hours and edited them, but I'm just not sure what to title them. I was like, don't worry about it. I feel you. I was there as part of the show. And I wasn't sure what the hell they were doing. So I'll figure that out. So your podcast will be up a little later than normal because I got to scramble together a title for the nonsense that happened from 7 to 10. But we'll get that done. Thanks to our intern for doing all the hard work of having to listen intently to that show. But that aside, we had a very interesting night in the NBA, particularly starting in Houston. And we had the conversation yesterday about the Rockets and what they would have to deal with in a playoff series and how they would handle it. It wasn't playoff basketball because none of those Sixers that played last night outside of Quentin Grimes may ever be in a playoff rotation. I don't know. We will see. They held back. Maxey didn't play. Paul George was shut down officially yesterday. Gershon Yabusele, who made a name for himself in the Olympics and got a deal with the Sixers, he wasn't available. And we know Joel Embiid's been out for a while. So there's a bunch of guys we never really heard of unless you – for whatever reason, are really locked in on Sixers podcast. You know who Ricky Council is, and you know who Edwards is, and maybe you love a Jared Butler acquisition in the middle of the year. The only guy we knew anything about was Quentin Grimes, and mostly because of his time in this city. And, of course, if you watched the Rockets play against the Mavericks, you know about that. He spent time with the Knicks, too. So Quentin Grimes goes crazy. The Sixers don't have anyone. It felt like on the floor for about maybe 45 of the total 52 minutes, who was over 6'7", it felt like. And they went small, and they knocked down shots, and it put the Rockets in a spot where they could not play Alperen Şengün for the better part of the entire game because they looked bad. They could not defend. It was just a poor performance overall. Was it them taking the Sixers lightly? Probably. You can't even recognize who's out there, so you assume you're just going to walk in and win a game considering how you played. It's a bad team. You just expect to win. It turns out you had to match the biggest comeback in your franchise's history to tie the game. And as I mentioned, Quentin Grimes is on that team. He goes nuts, scores 46 points. But shout out to Quentin Grimes for doing the local team a solid. The Sixers are up by 6. The Rockets knocked down a 3, I believe, was the scenario. And the Sixers have the ball. All they have to do is hold the ball, get fouled. They're shooting free throws with the chance to win the game by knocking down the free throws. Instead, The Rockets don't foul. They hold off and try to force a turnover, and they do, because Quentin Grimes, as he's trying to get the ball out of his hands, doesn't see Jalen Green coming from behind, and he intercepts the pass, and it results in a timeout by the Rockets. The Sixers foul to play the game of, hey, we're going to force you to knock down free throws, or we think we can get a defensive rebound if you miss the second one on purpose, and we'll go knock down our free throws and win the game. We're now up by four, and you have no shot. Instead, Ime inserts Alperen Şengün back in the game for the last 5 seconds overtime. He gets a rebound, gets a putback, was fouled on that putback, but it wasn't called, and the Rockets eventually go in overtime. Alperen dominates on the boards in overtime as well. The Rockets come out with the win. But back to our discussion yesterday when we had a talk about how the Rockets would handle adversity. And the Sixers broadcast talked about it. This Rockets team doesn't know what it's going to be like. And they asked the question themselves. I don't know any of the announcers' names, but they asked the question themselves. How the Rockets deal with adversity in the playoffs when they appear to be fraying dealing with this Sixers team who's having a really good night? We had Tari get ejected. I mean, it barely counts. He was fouled out. Fred got ejected for a questionable flagrant 2 upgrade. So you had another couple Rockets ejected in a game that wasn't going their way. You credit them. You credit Jabari. You credit Jalen for keep shooting. He didn't have a great shooting night, but he kept getting up shots. You credit Jayshon Tate for his plus-minus of plus 30. They found a way. But even the opponents' announcers were recognizing this team may not be ready for all that comes their way. You will say this. They did fight through that adversity to win the game. They had 2 guys foul out. 2 guys get thrown out of the game. One is a combo of a foul out and a thrown out of the game. They still find a way to win. Your all-star sits for pretty much the entire second half after his initial stretch coming out of the break. And they find a way. Now, Sean and I, and a lot of you out there are college football fans, and this has become a phrase for college football fans, a win that feels like a loss. When you're clearly out-talented the opponent that you're going to see, and you struggle, but in the end, talent wins out, your depth wins out, and you find a way to win the game. Historic comeback, as I said, tied for the largest comeback in Rockets history, at least I said in the play-by-play era. I don't know if they have one beyond that, but the play-by-play era is what I saw from the NBA official account. Largest comeback in Rockets history, tied for it. Is this a win that feels like a loss? Is this one where you're like, yeah, all that stuff is great, all that flowery stuff about fighting back through adversity and Alperen not allowing the benching to change his attitude and how he could contribute when he got the opportunity. But it was the Sixers, and Alperen was bullying like a 6'7 guy to get that rebound. I will take it for the Rockets because they don't know anything of success, not this version of the Rockets. So however it comes, I'll take it. But with the caveat, because I always look on the other side. All right. It's more embarrassing that it would have been more embarrassing that you lost than exhilarating that you won the game you did, the way you did. Like, losing to the Sixers, that Sixers team, no matter the score, would have been more embarrassing than how good you might feel about winning this game, the way you did it. It's more relief.
Yeah.
For me, watching them let Jared Butler cooked Jabari Smith and Jalen Huchefino. I always butcher his hyphenated name. Taunt Jalen Green into a technical foul when Jalen just two-hand shoves him in the chest. I don't know what he said, but he pissed off Jalen Green enough to go the full two-arm shove to the chest. The Rockets didn't like the situation they're in, mostly because I don't even know who you are, and you're pushing me to the brink. It was a frustrating night, but they came through.
Yeah, it is very reminiscent, and we've talked about it with like the stretch of, 10 games against terrible teams that they play, or teams below 500. They're not all terrible, but for the most part, they're pretty bad. And that, hey, you're not going to rip off 11 straight wins against this terrible schedule. Like, just how the NBA works, you'll lose one of these games where you're like, how'd you lose to this crappy team. And
but this
and
was the crappiest of all the teams possible, considering who was available.
And in the first half, I was like, I guess they're just going to do it tonight because the Sixers were shooting like 60% from three at halftime. And I was like, yeah, that's normally how you lose, is if one team like doubles what they should be shooting from three. Like, yeah, that'll happen. But yeah, no, after winning the game, it does feel like one of those college football weekends where like Ohio State escapes with a win against Indiana. Or not Indiana's
even,
bad like, example because
like Bowling Green.
They've been good for 1 year, but like Purdue
yeah,
or something where you're like, hey, listen, we'll play the fight song and stuff, but dude, we can't be that excited that this was just a miserable 4 hours.
Like Monday through Wednesday of the next week from the podcast to the local radio shows, they're talking about what the hell happened to Ohio State and how they can fix their problems. They need to really come out in their next game and show that this was an aberration. The Rockets don't have to wait a week for their next game.
Tomorrow.
Yes. And
the Florida trip. Vaunted Florida trip.
Yes, the vaunted Florida trip.
If James Harden is on this team, auto loss in Miami. That's true, by the way.
Yes.
That's not me making fun. That's like he actually always stunk
We knew
in Miami.
He did not play well in cities known for their nightlife.
Specifically, I don't know
Miami
if he won
a
game in Miami.
And he did win one this year because this version of the Heat are not good. They're in the middle of Eric Spoelstra's longest losing streak as a head coach, and it got longer last night. That team started out up 12-0 and wound up being blasted by the Knicks. We had a Tracy Morgan sighting and a Tracy Morgan vomit experience that delayed
he had to
the
watch
game.
Terry Rozier up close.
That's what a lot of people were saying. that the jokes were flying, whether it be Terry Rozier individually or the Heat as a whole. Either way, it was only 64-58 at the time. I wasn't watching it live.
It was a valiant effort.
I wasn't watching it live because why? Why would I do that to myself? So I was just keeping track, looking at updates, and it was 64-58. The Knicks called a timeout after a Heat bucket, and I'm like, this game has been in a break, in a timeout for like 5 to 6 minutes. What is going on? Then I finally flip on the game and I see all the players staring, waiting. And then it turns out Tracy Morgan had vomited profusely and was bleeding from his nose. And
we have an update on that. Food poisoning.
Food poisoning. Okay. That's better than another option. He has some health issues. But we are going to talk about Orlando ICU. We're going to get to you when we come back. Please hold through the break. We'll get to you really quickly. I did see RG3 say prayers up to Tracy Morgan, and how he did it would have me pretty pissed if I was Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan may not do it, but if I was someone who knew Tracy Morgan and I was about that life, I'd go snuff RG3 for what he did. We'll talk about that sometime today. We'll get into McCullers being back on the mound in a real game. That's happening today. There was more basketball last night, and apparently there's a really tired Golden State Warrior, despite their winning streak. Some guys really tired up there, and maybe it resulted in a poor performance last night and had them lose to the Nuggets, who were sitting out. Like, Jokic didn't play, Murray didn't play, and they still went on the road to beat the Warriors. So we'll get into the tired Warrior at some point as well. Orlando, like I said, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So to recap, Orlando will get to you. Jalen gets a technical for shoving Jalen Hood-Schifino. Tari gets ejected after fouling out, picks up a technical, gets thrown out. Fred picks up a soft flagrant two, maybe even soft for flagrant one, but he got upgraded to a flagrant two and he gets thrown out, and Dylan Brooks fouls out. So you had three rotation players out, Jalen Green still in the game, and the Rockets find a way to beat the Quentin Grimes led Sixers last night in what turned out to be a far more entertaining ball game and compelling than we could have imagined before the game, and then starting the third quarter when it felt like the Rockets were just going to get run off the floor. They find a way, though. Let's go to Orlando. He wants to talk Rockets. What's up, Orlando?
What's up, Dale?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Hey, first of all, y'all need more than 2 hours on the air. Y'all the greatest show in Houston, man.
Appreciate it.
I wanted to talk about the Rockets, and I know we talked a couple of weeks ago about getting a closer on this team. I don't watch a lot of Detroit Piston basketball and Asar Thompson, but is he as good as a man? If he is, why wouldn't we try to get him to join his brother in Houston and have that deadly combo right there?
I would say, first thing, Detroit has something to say about it, and Asar has not been given the same opportunities that a man has been given to be a contributor, but he's getting more and more time. At this point, Amen's the better player. That would be the consensus, I think, by everyone. But he is becoming a bigger and bigger part of that team as he gets older. I would just think Detroit is going to tell you, what are you giving us to put the two twins together? And they would ask for quite a bit. He, while he's not Amen Thompson, they invested a top five pick in him. I don't think either team is making a swap, most or not for the two brothers, but making a trade because they like him, and the Rockets, whoever Detroit's going to ask for, the Rockets are probably going to like that guy too.
Yeah, it's also just hard to make the young guy for young guy trade,
yeah.
And there's not really the older veteran piece for the Rockets to send to Detroit for Asar. And Asar is kind of like, he's like Amen Thompson.
Proto Amen, I feel like.
Yeah, I was going to say like rookie year Amen Thompson. Yeah. And part of it is because, you know, last year got cut short and this year got delayed because he had Asar Thompson had some blood clot issues. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason. His development is like 6 months behind or 8 months behind his twin brother, is that he actually did have to stop playing basketball for 8 months. So, yeah, he's a little more role player-y than Amen, but he's still a very good player.
Yeah. So Detroit's going to tell you, maybe we'd have taken Amen if we were higher up in the draft, but we like Asar too. Yeah. We're going to keep him.
Eason and a first.
Do you want a guy who can play back-to-backs?
Get the actual Terra Twin.
Yeah. Yes. And this guy can be on the floor with Amen in back-to-back games as opposed to Tyrese, who we're still waiting on that for. So, I mean, it's not a bad thought. We appreciate the kind words. Once again, it just feels like Asar is going to make his way in Detroit. And he's starting for them. They like him. His minutes can fluctuate depending on who they're playing. And I don't think Detroit's looking to shake anything up considering they are having a really good year
five seed
as well. Yes, in an Eastern Conference that isn't great, but Detroit is certainly exceeding expectations. Not to the level that the Rockets are, but maybe I should take back what I just said, honestly, because Detroit was bad last year. They hired J.B. Bickerstaff, who people were kind of questioning because Cleveland couldn't get past a certain point with him, and he has done a remarkable job there thanks to Cade Cunningham blossoming. But it's a lot of, Detroit's been drafting high for a long time. And what the hell is going on there? And it's clicked. And they are better in their come-up year than the Rockets were in their come-up year last year. And the Rockets needed a great month of March to turn that into a positive year for them. Detroit's been pretty solid since the early part of this year. And that's why they're many games above 500 and are going to be solidly in the playoffs. Whereas we know the Rockets were fighting for a play-in until the last week or so and didn't make it. Appreciated Orlando. As far as the closer for the Rockets, they don't have one. It can be anyone from night to night at this point, and maybe that's not what you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for a clear number one. I don't think they're in any rush, and if they are, well, we know one team who isn't looking to trade. We talked about it yesterday. Devin Booker, if you think he's a closer, Matt Ishbia pretty much said, nah, that's not happening, so the Rockets have to go someplace else. But it's always going to be about once mid-April hits and they play in the playoffs and see what comes of it. I don't know who their closer is. Maybe we'll find one. Last night it was Şengün. He came in and changed that game.
I was about to bring that up. Last night it was Şengün.
A guy who didn't play until last 5 seconds.
Actually, after the first two possessions of overtime, I was just like, wait, why the hell did, like, they went, the Sixers went small with a bunch of G Leaguers, so they couldn't play Şengün
until they did tip in. And he dominated when he was in there.
like I was thinking, like, yeah, when teams go small, and obviously Şengün is not as good as Jokic, but like when teams go small against Jokic, the Nuggets just do a little, oh, I guess we got to sit him.
Michael Malone isn't pulling Jokic if a team decides we're just going to run nobody taller than 6'8". He goes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
And it's like, well, you know, you can't have him guarding O'Shea Brissett on the perimeter.
No.
To which I ask, why not?
Why not? It's please, O'Shea Brissett, take as many shots as you like because you think you have an advantage.
So the energy from the Rockets is terrible in the first half.
Yeah.
Also, part of it is that the Sixers are shooting like unsustainably hot.
That's
from
the thing.
From the first half.
You know, I was thinking about that during the game. Energy and what it means kind of just is dependent on who's shooting well.
That was last night's game to a T.
Yeah.
When the Rockets started making threes,
all of a sudden,
they erased a 20-point deficit.
And look how much their energy changed. And look how energized they were. When the Sixers were knocking down shots, they looked like the energized bunch. They looked like they're out working the Rockets. Make or miss, that's a very simple way to describe things. And sure, if you're playing hard, that leads to maybe better looks or maybe not giving up better looks. But everything plays into it. And once the Sixers stopped making shots, once Quentin Grimes turned that ball over and gave it to Jalen Green, and they stopped making shots in overtime, all of a sudden the Rockets look like, man, couldn't be stopped, and turned out that way.
Yeah.
So
I just have a little bit of, like, Ime Udoka. Like, I get what we're trying to do here, but, like, maybe you shouldn't bench your all-star for the entire second half.
Yeah, I mean...
Especially after the run in the third quarter. And then the start of the fourth, where they're just immediately down 10 and can't score again.
Exactly. Yeah. The start of the fourth quarter.
Maybe try to throw in a guy who can't be guarded in the post
and just
against
go,
these guys.
And just go to him. And now the Rockets like to play fast, but the Sixers were playing faster and were better at it. So just slow it down. You're already dominating the rebounds. The Rockets had 58 rebounds, 23 offensive rebounds to the Sixers, 8 offensive rebounds at 35 total. So they were dominating the glass, whether Şengün was in the game or not. But of course, late in the game when he made the play, and then in overtime he got it done as well. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Ime will bench a young player who people think a lot of to play Jeff Green because he thinks that gives them the best chance to win, and he would tell you that playing small got them back in the game. But maybe, as you said, once you're down 10 again, you throw Alperen in because your run is over, so switch it up. I wonder if at some point he'll – because as far as – head coach, he's a young coach. He's only done it for 3 seasons. If he'll get to the point where he's like, you know what, sure, I get it. I would love to play this player who's not as valuable to the overall on a night because it's better for the team. But you know what, I got to play Alperen here or whoever the star is because that's what we do. That's what happens. The star gets an opportunity to play through whatever bad energy mistakes were made early because he's the star. Will we ever get to that point where Alperen gets beyond you can get benched for almost an entire half.
Yeah, or it's like if they trade for Kevin Durant and Kevin Durant comes out with bad defensive energy and his man is just blowing past him because he'll be 36 years old if he's on the team next year. Are we just like, all right, KD, sit next to me.
And never get off the bench?
Yeah, like I just feel like some of this, it's like, dude, just put in your all-star.
Yeah.
against Ricky Council.
Their young team. He's been a veteran assistant, but he's a young coach, and he certainly has a way of doing things, and it's not the traditional NBA way of doing it, and he's got the benefit of coaching young players who are more likely to accept almost an entire half benching without it being a problem because they're just partly happy to be able to play on a winning team, and that'll change at some point. Is it next year? Is it year after where they're in the middle of their max deals in terms of Alperen and Jalen? And they're like, no, we should be playing. We got to play. You're paying us like we're the best players on the team. The organization thinks we are. Maybe treat us like that. We'll see. But that's maybe a couple years down the line. Or maybe it's just next year. Julian, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. You want to talk about Kirk Cousins' agent. Kirk Cousins, surprisingly, still a Falcon. But if you looked at the cap ramifications, it probably shouldn't be so surprising, but people thought he was going to be out the door, and the Falcons were like, actually, it'll cost us more to get rid of him than it would be to be awkward and keep him and have him back up Michael Penix. So we'll get to Falcons talk, I guess, when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And, you know, it could be awkward if you try to fix a leak in your home. You don't know what you're doing. You might cause a bigger problem. You know who you should go to avoid such issues? Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You can go to the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, and check out what they have to offer. Billy Brown, friend of the station, friend of John and Lance, he was at the occasional invitational with us at Wildcat. He is part of the community. He is there to help out local people. So use his company. It could be a big job. It could be a small job. It doesn't matter. They do it all. And not a lot of us understand anything about plumbing. I mean, I would kind of guess that most of us don't. Maybe we could fix a vanity. Maybe we can't. I mentioned that because Aqueduct Plumbing Company could do that for you, whether it be a leak or you want a remodel, or it could be something giant like a repipe. It's there for you. So maybe you got a faucet that's wonky. You need them to take a look at that. Or you need to get a tankless water heater or a traditional water heater. It's all there for you. They provide all the services. You can check out all the services under their services tab at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And, of course, you can call them as well if you need a free price quote. 281-488-6238 is the number. So you're not sure, but you want to find out. They'll take care of you that way as well. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Stand by. Cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
You're listening to The Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to Julian here. He wants to talk about Kirk Cousins and his agent. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Josh Turkey. There's been a lot of talk about this offseason and these three-year deals that have been made by a lot of players. These agents are 7 years too late. Kirk Cousins' agent not only started the three-year trend, he also did fully guaranteed money. This guy was ahead of his time. He has made Kirk Cousins more money than Tom Brady would have made throughout his career. Deshaun Watson got all that guaranteed money, the 256, I want to say. Everyone was riding his agents nuts. But Mike McCartney, not to be confused with Mike McCarthy, it has to be the GOAT of agents. He started this trend 7 years ago. He got his boy guaranteed money. And even to this day, Kirk Cousins is still robbing people. Y'all have a good day.
So Julian's the PR person for Mike McCartney?
Not to be confused with Mike McCarthy.
Yes.
One-time Super Bowl winner.
Or the guy who coached the Colorado Buffaloes at one point.
Yes, not him.
Not him as well. Yeah, Mike McCartney's done a great job with Kirk Cousins, but the money is larger, and guys and other agents have taken a look at what he did and are doing the same thing. Derek Stingley got 89 of $90 million.
I do think that you can really only fully do guaranteed. This at a handful of positions, though.
Yes, the premium positions will allow for it. It's part of it. Even receivers who you would consider premium position don't get that much guaranteed.
Yeah, and teams are so starved for quarterbacks that a team watched Kirk Cousins be Kirk Cousins for a decade and then tear his Achilles. And then immediately signed him to $100 million deal.
And because they did what they did and drafted a quarterback, which, once again, I didn't have a problem with taking Michael Penix. My problem was always leaning into Kirk Cousins. Yeah. Like, you weren't, even if he played relatively well, was not hurt or coming off an injury, there's a ceiling to Kirk Cousins. Why sign yourself up for that ceiling again?
Yeah. The problem was doing one and then the other.
Yes. I think the Penix thing saved them clearly because, I mean, they didn't make the playoffs, but they're in it, and they went to him. So there is a little runway until his second year, so we'll see how he plays in the second year. But quarterbacks, maybe you do that with – maybe you can do it with the left tackle, maybe, and defensive ends.
Oh, see, I think it's maybe only it's guys that play on the outside. I think it's quarterbacks, receivers, and corners.
Yeah. You have to be super special at defensive end, I think.
Yeah,
to do
Yeah, like Garrett.
Yeah, you have to be one of those types, but tackles won't even get it no matter how good they are. So, yeah, it's probably – you can be a top five quarterback and get it. You may have to be an all-pro defensive end to get it. And then corners, there might be a little bit more leeway as far as how many guys can get it.
Yeah, because the thing with Stingley is that he'll be a free agent again when he's 28.
Yeah.
That's when you sign the, like, longest, most guaranteed money you can. Just, like, lock it in, because chances are when he's 31, teams aren't going to be lining up to, you know, make him the highest paid corner in the league.
Yeah, and while he was never Stingley, I mean, well, maybe I'm being a little unfair, the ball production was up there. Xavien Howard was a guy who didn't get the money that Stingley is getting, because different eras of salary cap, but he's a guy who picked off a lot of passes, was a great cornerback, and now he's had different issues off the field that have hurt him, and maybe his money demands have caused an issue too. He didn't play football last year. He's a 30-year-old corner who,
yeah,
probably pretty solid. Maybe could have got a 1-year deal in the $12 million range, whatever it might have been.
I would advise against not playing corner at 30 years old. Just for your long-term chances at getting more NFL contracts, like, you should have just buckled and signed a $7 million contract or whatever.
Whatever it was, he did not play at all last year. Now he's 31 years old. So you would think that's a guy who could come back, but we will see.
Yeah, now he's going to be a minimum guy, or a $5 million guy.
Yeah, after a year off.
He's going to be Jeff Okuda.
Yeah. Wow.
Pay range.
Okay. Well, the Texans paid Jeff Okuda that much. I'm not sure anyone else would have. Who's looking to pay Jeff Okuda anything beyond the minimum besides the Texans? And they got what they paid for. Or did.
Well, no, they didn't.
They didn't. like the Falcons, we were just talking about them. Like, we're done with him. The Texans are like, hey. And DeMeco talked about, I like the ability. He was once a top five, top ten type talent. We'll see. They took a flyer on him and on Henderson. Didn't work out, but they were lucky to draft Kamari Laster. So,
and Jeff Okuda today signed with Houston North, the Vikings.
Are we Minnesota South, or are they Houston North?
Well, they have Grenard and Cashman and Grugier Hill.
And we have
Jeff Okuda and Cam Akers.
Daniil Hunter.
He went Vikings, Texans.
Texans back to Vikings.
Back to Vikings.
Yes.
Maybe they're just like a
Which one is the Space Cowboys? Which one is the Astros? Who's feeding who?
Texans won a playoff game.
Vikings
won more games.
Yes.
Thank God we didn't get Sam Darnold. In this, maybe they're sister cities.
I like that.
Foreign exchange.
Like that, yes. Yeah. We are sister cities with the Minnesota Vikings. We just swap depending on who needs what.
Just alliance, just with when it comes to, hey, this guy's good.
Yeah.
But we're not going to pay him.
Yeah. We'll pay your guy who you don't want to pay. We'll do that.
Yeah, they're not trades. It's just like, we want Daniil Hunter. And they're like, funny you should say that, because we want Jonathan Grenard.
And you can pay Daniil Hunter whatever you want. We'll pay Grenard whatever we want. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll work out for both parties. And we'll take your Blake Cashman as well.
Yeah. Stephon Diggs just had a...
I forgot.
Had a buffer, 4 years?
I didn't even mention Stephon. He was up there. He came down here. It's just, hey, we're just swapping out guys, having a good time. Disappointing our fan bases because of seasons we thought had great promise and didn't work out the way we wanted them to.
Why didn't we do this earlier and we could have gotten like Randy Moss or Adrian Peterson?
Moss for Jabbar Gaffney?
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
A little late.
Adrian Peterson for Steve Slayton. Let's make it happen.
We missed out. But now. We're getting it done. So I guess I can expect Harrison Smith to come down here in the final stages of his career some point.
He's a Texan.
Yeah, at some point Harrison Smith will be down here. Okay, we'll get out of the segment with that. If you want to call in, like Orlando or Julian, you can, 713-780-3776. We mentioned guys swapping places. We're going to hear from a guy who's not in Minnesota. He's now in Washington playing for the Commanders. Why Lemry Tunsil had to do his first media availability with Commanders media outside. I don't know. He couldn't sit in a room. So there may be some background noise you hear as you hear from him. he'll explain why he understands why the Texans traded him. He understands. No hard feelings. It's just a business, as he told us. We'll hear from Laramie Tunsil when we come back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And listen, March is here. Games tonight. Teams fighting to stay alive to make the 64-team bracket, the I guess, tournament original. That's what they're playing for tonight. And you can make a little money and have a little extra investment watching these games on Prize Picks. Prize Picks is also offering just a little special for you, Jahni Broom, to score more or less, but I think you can only pick more than half a point in Auburn's game against whatever 16 seed that they are playing. Yes, Jahni Broom, probably either the best or second best college basketball player this season. I think he's going to score more than 1 point. You can add that in with someone playing tonight. Wait until Thursday at, 11:30 when Auburn ticks off and you make some money. You can make three times your money just like that, or you can add it to a larger lineup and make up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES when you sign up on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I forgot about our big Philly fan intern. He said he went to the game last night. I don't know if he expected his Sixers to put up that type of a fight.
Yeah, was he wearing a Jared Butler jersey? Do we know?
Don't know that he owns one of those. He's in his Philly jacket, his Eagles jacket, and it's good to be an Eagles fan. Currently the defending champions. I don't know when that begins. Can you be the defending champions in March, or does the season have to actually begin?
I think they're just the champions.
The champions right now in the globe.
Because they're not defending.
They haven't even been to the White House yet, so they're just the champions right now. Once the season begins,
I think they're the defending champions.
So it's a good time for him. And that counteracts what is a miserable Sixers season. I don't know which is his bigger fandom. Probably the Eagles. They've given him more joy than that's kind of how it works, right?
For the most part, beat the
he can't be a bigger Sixers fan than an Eagles fan. Why would you do that to yourself?
Specifically, being the age he is, he's seen not nothing but good times from the Eagles, but
two titles,
kind of nothing but good times.
Yeah, and even if he was at the tail end of the Andy Reid era when he started to understand football, those teams are still pretty good.
Yeah,
still pretty good.
And he grew up watching the process Sixers, and then got rewarded when they finally started becoming good
by not ever beating a good team in the playoffs.
Embiid Simmons
never advancing past the second round, and now he's got this version where no one is going to play. But he did almost have a nice moment until You know what? Last night was the best thing the Sixers could have done because they have protections on their first round pick, but it isn't complete protect. They have to fall anywhere between five or six or seven exactly before it goes someplace
top
else.
Six.
Top six protected. Yeah. So have a great night, enjoying your team, push the Rockets to the brink.
Yeah.
Watching Rockets get thrown out of games and shove guys, but at the end of the day, you still get a real win as opposed to a fake win. Beating the Rockets doesn't help the Sixers. Losing that game and staying on pace to have a top six pick is the best thing that could have happened last night.
Yeah, Quinn Grimes playing like Jesus Christ on a basketball court and then losing is like what they need. They need eight threes from Quinn Grimes and then But in the closing seconds,
he tosses the ball away.
Yeah,
and gives the Rockets a chance
to
tie.
Let's see what Huchefino's all about.
Yeah, that sequence is interesting for the Sixers, but good for them. All you gotta do is get fouled, go to the free throw line, and you can win. Instead, you toss the ball. You don't see Jalen Green coming from behind your teammate. He picks it off. You foul. The smart thing, Nick Nurse, I guess, would think, hey, they've been knocking down threes to come back. Let's force him to the line. Oh, yeah. How am I going to box out Alperen Sengun? Do you think Nick Nurse forgot that Sengun was active because he hadn't played so long? He
goes, probably.
I'm only running out 6'7" guys. I don't have anyone else. So
if not Sengun, he definitely was like, oh, God, they have Adams too.
Yeah. Did you think he all just forgot? And he goes, look, we've been playing this lineup. I don't have anyone else with any size. So it doesn't really matter what happens, but I'm going to foul and think we can get a rebound. Except Jabari put up a miss that was perfect.
Great pass.
It was only Sengun versus an undersized player. Sengun probably got away with the foul, but whatever. By shoving that guy with his forearm underneath the basket, we've gone through it. Then he makes it, and then the Rockets go on to win. So perfect night for the Sixers. A night of relief for the Rockets as they win that one. Okay, before we close out hour one, let's get to Laramie Tunsil. He's now a Commander. No hard feelings. The man knows it's a business, and it's kind of the catchphrase for any player when these things happen. Hey, man, it's just business. When one of those guys is going to let you know I'm not bothered by it, it's business. It's all about business. So Laramie Tunsil had his first availability with Commanders Media, and he discussed the trade and why he thinks the trade happened with the Commanders and the Texans. I think I have it saved over there if the internet's giving you a problem. I think I have it. Okay, we're good.
I've been in this position before with the Miami Dolphins getting traded to Houston. So what I learned, don't take anything personal. And it's just strictly just a business. And I actually, before I left the building, I talked to those guys, D'Amico and Nick. And pretty much they're just trying to keep the young guys together. As simple as that. When I was a rookie and I was talking to my OG, who was Brandon Albert, and Jermaine Bushrod and Mike Pouncey, they told me it's a young man's game. And you know, I've seen it for myself. They drafted some young guys and they hit on every draft pick. You know, they're trying to keep those guys together. So I fully understand. Like, they just paid Stingley today. Like, they just gave that boy that bag. So I truly understand. Like, it's no hard feelings. Like, at the end of the day, it's a business. You know what I mean? I don't take anything personal. There's no hard feelings against the Houston Texans. You know, I thank them for just putting me in this position, and I thank them for everything they did for me and my family and changing my life. So I get it, man. When I was with Miami, I didn't get the courtesy call from Miami. You know, I kind of woke up out of my nap and got traded. So at least this time was a little bit different. So
Dolphins out here going, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, it's, random stray.
It's been weird. It's been years, man. Why are we catching a stray?
Chris Greer saying, what did he say?
What did I do? Larry Tunsil, when he gets traded, he's very understanding. Because when he got traded from the Dolphins to the Texans, he goes, 2 first-round picks and a second. I get it. I get why you traded me. So he doesn't mind it. He goes, hey, I still got my bag. And he got his bag from the Texans immediately after being traded. So he gets, I don't know how quickly the Commanders are going to pay him, but he seems to not be bothered by getting sent places because I guess he assumes I'm going to get my money no matter what.
That's what it is. Like when they say it's a business, when most athletes say it's a business, like there's a little bit of like hurt feelings there. Like, listen, I get it. It's a business, but ... For Laramie Tunsil, he's like, no, I completely understand this is a business. Me, more than anyone, because I negotiate my own contracts, and all my contracts are awesome. He always gets a little bit more than you think. I mean, at least the two they got from the Texans, you're just like, oh my God. Tunsil, most aware that's a business. Thanks, Mike Pouncey and Brandon Albert.
And
no
Bushrod.
Thanks to Chris Greer for too busy picking out what hat he was going to wear with a blazer to give him a call.
Don't feel like there's a lot of choices with that hat. I mean, it's very similar all the time. Maybe there's a couple colors. Chris Greer's not going beyond like a three hats. Yeah. I don't think he's going beyond three hats. There's a neutral. There's probably a white and maybe a green. An aqua, excuse me.
Yeah, I was going to say like Dolphins
colors. Dolphins colors. He's never worn an orange hat. Clashes with the blue blazers he's going to wear. If you don't know, Chris Greer is the GM for the Dolphins, and he will wear a hat with a blazer no matter what.
Yeah. That's one of those pet peeves, but that's just your what you've noticed.
Yeah, it's not a pet peeve. I don't care one way or the other. My pet peeve is him deciding, hey, I know this offensive lineman is down on the ground more than he is upright, but we're going to re-sign him. Like, the whole fan base wants him gone. But, yeah, he may not start for us, but if anybody gets injured, he may play, which happened this past week, and the fan base was furious. Like, we thought we were rid of this guy. Chris Greer, nope. He's got one more in him.
It's a culture thing, though.
Liam Eikenberg brings no culture.
Oh, the culture of, like in Batman Begins, it's not about when we fall down. It's about how we get up. And no one preaches that more than Liam Eikenberg.
The problem is,
who always has to.
You know, another Miami figure had that in one of his commercials. The problem is that guy was Dwayne Wade. And when he was upright, he was great. Liam Eikenberg is bad when he's upright. When he's on the ground, it doesn't matter. If Liam Eikenberg was dominant when he was upright, I'd be fine with it. Hey, he falls down, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
But he's also pancaked the guy. Instead, he's the one getting pancaked or just slipping because he takes a misstep. I don't care. Get back up. Yeah, but nobody even really knocked you down. You just fell down. You just tripped. That's not good for an offensive lineman. All right. The Texans have their own issues on the offensive line, but at least those guys generally are upright. They're just looking in the wrong direction for the most part.
And the problem is they don't pick up the quarterback who fell down.
Well, got knocked down because of their mistakes. But now it's a whole new ball game. I think Lakin Tomlinson and Ed Ingram will pick up the quarterback. And I say this because I think they're going to – I say that because I think they're going to be at fault just as much as the guys that are gone. But maybe the Texans will draft better players. They've got to draft to fix some of their issues as well. You know, Garrett Bradbury is available. Another Viking. You would think they'd bring him down. That fits.
Does he stink out loud like Ed Ingram?
He's better.
Okay.
He's not great in pass pro, but he's a competent player. Competent, which is something okay. I would welcome here.
That's an improvement.
Yeah. I would welcome competence
over Juice Patterson?
Yeah. Yes. How long do we have to go before we stop explaining why we do the Juice Patterson thing? Do you think we've explained it enough? Or do we need to keep going?
One more.
Okay. For anyone listening, this is the final time we're going to explain it.
We know that Juice Patterson isn't a name on anyone on the text.
I am not immune from making a mistake on a name. It happens to everyone. But Sean and I know that Patterson and Scruggs are different people. But it's easier for us to just say Juice Patterson because pretty much they're the same player out there.
Yeah, and we always lump them together in conversations.
So. One's a backup. One could play guard. The other can play guard. They both play center, whatever. It's the same guy. Not good enough, it feels like, to be starting for the Texans. But will until they find a better alternative. That's why maybe Garrett Bradbury's a guy. And just fulfill the legacy of bringing another Viking down.
The pipeline.
Why not? Speaking of pipelines, I got one more recruiting week to get through in our dynasty. But that's for me, Sean, and like three other people. All right. We'll get to hour two when we come back. We will do our camp update, and mostly it's going to be about one guy who's no longer a barista. He's back pitching in competitive baseball. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.